All right, guys, welcome back to the Game Trail Podcast. I'm getting better at these, right? So I'm getting them out a little bit more regularly. I appreciate you guys that have reached out and offered me some support and, you know, maybe given me some feedback. I had a funny one come through last night. Individual reached out and, you know, kind of critiqued a little bit of some of my grammatical errors or maybe just the way that I talk, which was funny. I appreciate that. My apologies. I did grow up in Southern Utah and I'm not naturally a gifted conversationalist, I wouldn't say. So some of these, you know, phrase or terminology, whatever it might be, it comes out a little bit wonky sometimes, but that was a funny little DM that I got last night and I appreciate it. I got a good laugh out of it. But I do appreciate you guys listening. Before I really get going into this week's podcast, I want to hit promo codes. So promo code GAMETRAIL. You can use that when you sign up for a Go Hunt Insider account. If you're not a member, you're going to get 50 points back in the Go Hunt gear shop, which you can use towards the purchase of any gear that you want in the shop. 50 points is 50 bucks. So it's a nice little perk for signing up, getting an account, and then being able to use some of that money to maybe pick up some equipment that you need in the shop. Also, shout out Matthews Archery. Appreciate those guys being a sponsor of my podcast. Today, I'm going to be doing a solo episode, and the entirety of this podcast is going to be on purchasing a new bow. I try to take subject matter, or I try to talk about things that I'm getting questions about. And it seems like this is a question that I've been getting more increasingly in the last couple weeks. Seems like there are people that are looking to get into a new bow, or you know, maybe they've got a bow and they want to upgrade, they want to get into something new. I've had a number of people reach out and say, hey, you know, I'm a rifle hunter, but bow hunting looks interesting. I want to try it. I want to get into it. And so they're looking at getting into their first bow. And so I want to do a podcast where I basically covered my thoughts on, you know, buying a new bow, getting into a bow. Where should you spend your money? What are some specs or some things that you could work with your pro shop tech when you go in to help you make the best decision? And so that's going to be the podcast today. Before I get going, I want to tell you a little story about a bow purchase that I had. So a number of years ago, I don't even remember how many years ago it's been. I wanted a new bow. I think I had some tags in the fall. And I was looking forward to them. The new bows had all come out, I want to say in November. And I was looking at buying a new bow. I really wanted to get into one. So I went down to my local pro shop. And I had it in mind when I walked in the shop, the bow that I wanted to buy, which was a Matthews Monster. And I don't even remember, you know, if I shot that bow, to be honest. I think I just ordered it sight unseen. I went in, gave them my specs. Got it on order, and that was about it. Ordered it in the draw length of other bows that I'd had in, you know, previous years. I don't remember really even checking that, to be honest. Never shot the bow, like I said. Didn't have any idea other than, you know, the specs that I could read at the time in a magazine. So the specs on that, I just was curious. So I looked them up. So that Matthews Monster was 33 1/4 inches, I want to say, axle to axle. It had a 6-inch brace height, which is, you know, not the shortest. There's some bows out there that have got 5-inch brace heights, but, you know, six is pretty compact. And the one thing that really just tripped my trigger, the reason that I wanted that bow, was the IBO feet per second rating, which was 353 feet per second. And I remember at the time thinking that's all I saw was that 353 feet per second. And I was like, that's it. I'm buying that bow. It's super fast. That's the one that I need. The bow came in, I got it set up. I was doing some of my own work at the time. So I got it all, you know, put together, rest, sight, stabilizer. I think I just had a front bar at the time and, started shooting the bow and, shot it. Okay. But it didn't take too long for me to develop some bad habits. And I think I would have developed these same bad habits. I'm gonna call it target panic. So I got target panic, and I don't want to blame it solely on that bow, because, you know, I think target panic is between your ears. Admittedly, it's my issue, but that bow was not conducive to where I was at that stage in archery for me. I was shooting an index finger release, and I didn't really have great mechanics. You know, I didn't really know how to pull into the back wall. You know, I probably wasn't using really the right muscle groups. My shot was pretty static, you know. And what ended up happening is when I would get into full draw, I would get into the wall, and it would just feel, if I let up even a little bit, it felt like that bow wanted to jump out of my hands. And it gave me like this anxiety. And what ended up happening is I would just put the pin on the target, and as soon as it got on the target, I would just whack that trigger and send that arrow, because I was just anxious, you know, that if I relaxed up, that bow would jump. And that led me to some major issues. So, you know, I went from, you know, shooting pretty decent to then, you know, I would occasionally miss pretty good to then all of a sudden I would miss an entire block target, and shooting just was no fun. It got to be not fun at all. It got to the point where if I thought about going and practicing, I just didn't even want to do it because it just made me anxious. And wasn't a great experience. Definitely wasn't the bow's fault. It was, you know, my fault as to where I was at in my stage in archery. I didn't really know, but and then I also bought the bow, so I didn't see and never shot it. I didn't even know what I was getting myself into. So my goal of this podcast is to help you guys hopefully not make that same mistake. I want you guys to get into a bow that is going to work for you. It's going to shoot great. And typically I tell people the best bow for you is the one that you'll shoot the most. It's not the one with the highest foot per second, probably. I promise the bow that you shoot the most accurately is going to be the one that you want to shoot the most often. You know, if a bow is super fast, but you're not hitting your intended target, you're not going to want to shoot that bow. It doesn't matter how fast that thing is. You're never going to look at the foot per second and how quick the arrow gets there and just go, yeah, this is it. This is the experience I'm looking for. The goal is to hit what you're aiming at. And I promise you a more accurate, forgiving bow is going to be more fun to shoot. You're going to shoot it more. So I'm not saying that speed bows can't be accurate. They definitely can be. It just, you know, depends with the individual that's shooting it. But I think they're a little bit harder. They definitely are for me. So with that, I want to start with the hunter and not necessarily the bow. And what I'm trying to say here is I think the individual, the hunter, when they go into the bow shop, they should have thought about some questions, should have worked them over in their head prior to even walking into the bow shop, because I think that's going to help them determine, you know, before they even get going, what kind of bow is likely going to be, you know, the best fit for them. The first question I think you ought to ask yourself a little bit is, how much do you want to practice? Like, how much do you think you want to work and grow at archery? Do you think you're going to love it? Do you think you're going to want to work at becoming better? Do you think you want to just bow hunt, or do you think that you want to bow hunt as well as maybe start participating in some local 3D shoots, maybe shoot competitively? And all those decisions right there, depending on how you feel about it, are going to let you know, how much money should I spend on a bow? If you think you're going to really love it, you're going to really get into it, and you're going to pour some time and effort into actually getting better at it, and maybe you want to compete a little, I would suggest is you're probably going to want to spend more money on that bow and that setup, because the returns are going to be better for your investment. You're going to improve. You're going to grow with it. It's going to shoot better. It's going to be a better experience for you. If you just want to bow hunt, maybe you want to go out and shoot a few arrows every day. You know, I personally don't, that doesn't like, that's not how I am, but I get that there are definitely people that love that. You know, maybe you don't need to pour as much money into the bow, to be honest. The other question I think you should ask yourself is what's my style of hunting? What do I actually hunt? So if you're a guy that, hunts from a tree stand, or a blind, you know, you're a whitetail hunter, maybe, you know, you probably, your shot distance is not going to be as far as it might be for the West. You know, out West, you know, 50, 60 yards is a pretty makeable common shot, I would say, whether you're hunting pronghorn or mule deer or elk. You know, Midwest whitetail, Eastern whitetail, a lot of shots are, you know, 30 yards and in, I would say. So in those cases, you know, you may not need to spend the money for the highest level, of bow. Obviously the more money you spend, it's just like anything in life, the more money you spend, the more features, the more, accurate, the more tunability you're going to get out of that bow, the more stable it's going to be, the more quiet it's going to be. So you get some things that are definitely going to help you. But, you know, if your shots are 20 yard and in, you're an occasional bow hunter, you know, maybe you don't need to spend maximum amount on your bow. So I would say think about that. You know, also in regards to what you hunt, is going to help you determine maybe the overall axle to axle length of the bow. You know, a longer axle to axle bow is generally more forgiving. That's why you see guys that are shooting competitively, you know, freestyle, those guys are shooting 35 to 40 inch axle to axle bows. And the reason they're doing that is because that's how they make a living. And a longer axle to axle platform is just more forgiving. It's more accurate. It's more stable. If you listened to my podcast before, you would have probably heard me make this analogy of the difference between holding a yardstick and a broomstick in your bow hand. A yardstick is going to be much more easy to manipulate back and forth in your hand versus a broomstick, because there's just longer length, right? There's just more out there to resist movement. So if you're looking to maybe come out west, or if you're from, you know, out west, it might be interesting to you to try a little bit longer axle to axle bow, because like I said, those are just generally more forgiving. So those are just some considerations. There'll be some others here as I dive down into this a bit deeper, but I did want to cover those before I got going. The next thing I would suggest to you is budget. So what is your budget and where should you actually spend your money? And this is a question that I get quite a bit. Should I spend more money on the bow and then budget my accessories, like your sight, your rest, your release, your stabilizers, arrows, broadheads? Or should I spend more money on the accessories and spend less money on the bow itself? So this is my opinion. You can take it for what it's worth. In my opinion, I think you should spend money, the bulk of your budget, on the bow. I think you should spend a good amount of money on a quality rest. The reason I say that is because if you think about actually shooting an arrow, your rest is what's cradling the arrow, and it has a direct result on how accurate you are with, you know, with that bow and that setup. So I think the rest, also the durability of the rest, you've got to have an arrow rest if you're out hunting, and that thing has to last. It has to be durable. You don't want to be facing issues with it when you're out on a hunt that you've poured a lot of time and effort into. So I would say spend your money on a rest. I would say spend money on a release. The reason I say the release is because a more expensive, more quality release is going to be more durable. It's going to be more accurate because those sears that are built into those release are more precise. You know, I've had over the years, here's another little experience for you. So I had a release. It was an index finger release, wrist strap. I didn't pay a lot of money for it. It was fairly cheap. And I went to a local indoor league. This is when I was in college. And I remember there was a whole line of people, probably 15 or 20 folks. And I think we just started. I want to say it was about my third arrow on my first end. I was just about to full draw, and the sear, the clasps on that release, gave up, dumped the arrow. I shot that arrow above the target into the wall, and I punched myself in the face. And remember, I bloodied my nose. It was pretty good. It was a solid, you know, punch in the face. I was embarrassed, as you might imagine. But it's not to say that that can't happen to most releases over time, but it's far less likely to happen if you put your money into quality release that's going to be more durable. I know for a fact at that time I probably hadn't spent more than about $60 on that release, and you know, gave up, and I paid the price probably more in my ego and embarrassment than anything, but it wasn't a great experience. So I would say spend your money on a release. The other thing I think you should spend your money on, especially if you're going, you know, bow hunting, is in broadheads. So spend your money on a quality broadhead. There's all different types of broadheads. My personal favorites are, you know, a mechanical. I like the Sever heads. I think the Beast Broadhead is interesting. There's some new ones on the market from Speed, I believe, that I think look intriguing and interesting. I like mechanicals. There's a lot of people that like a fixed blade head, which is awesome. Iron Wheel makes a great fixed head. I shot Slick Tricks for a lot of years, and those were always razor sharp out of the package. I could replace the blades for relatively cheap in those broadheads, and I liked them. But there's a lot of good broadheads on the market. But don't buy, you know, cheap, flimsy broadheads. I would say put some money in your broadheads because, you know, that's the actual tip of the arrow when you're bow hunting that's going to kill the animal. So you want to make sure that you have a good quality, durable, sharp broadhead. So those are kind of the pieces, parts and pieces that I personally think that you ought to put your money into. A sight. So I didn't mention a sight in there. So there are some factors on the available sights on the market that are going to help you be more accurate. And as I think about that, those are primarily going to be in your ability to level those axes. So your first, your second, your third axis, you know, your third axis is definitely going to, if it's not leveled out properly, and that's, again, it's based on the other two. But if it's not leveled out properly, you're going to struggle to be accurate when you're shooting angled uphill and downhill shots. So personally, I think that's like, it's a great thing to have in a sight. I would say it's a must for me. But if you're just getting into archery, there's a lot of nice sights on the market that are cheaper. They don't have all the bells and whistles of some of the top versions. And I think if, you know, you're trying to stick within a budget, I think that that's one area that maybe you could get into an entry-level sight and then upgrade in the future. All sights right now, at least, they have pretty good fiber optic pins. You can sight those pins in, whether they have micro adjustment or you have to, you know, move each individual pin in the housing or not. You can move those pins and you can sight them in and you can have a functioning sight that's going to work for you, allow you to, you know, practice and then also go bow hunting. So I think that might be an area that you can think about saving a little bit of money. And again, this is just my opinion, but that's just some thoughts I have. So the other one that I had not mentioned was stabilizers. So stabilizers are going to help you balance the bow. They're going to help you, be more steady. It's going to help you aim a little bit better. And it might take some tinkering to kind of find out what works best for you in a bow hunting scenario. But a stabilizer, especially for a bow hunter, it's probably in terms of like the features of the stabilizer, it's probably not as critical. And there's a lot of stabilizers on the market for a bow hunter. They're going to work just fine. You know, if you really do a deep dive into stabilizers, especially in the target world, they're always talking about the stiffness of the stabilizer, your ability to add weights to it. They're talking vibration dampening, all these different things that they talk about in the target world for stabilizers. A lot of those are probably not really all that critical for a bow hunting setup, because in most cases you're going to be shooting a, you know, 15 inch. That would be at the extreme end of a long stabilizer for a Western bow hunter. But most people are going to be shooting, you know, 10 to 12 inch front bar. And if you add a back bar to that, you're probably looking at an 8 to 10 inch back bar with some weights on it. The difference between a micro diameter, a small stabilizer bar that's going to buck the wind, and then one that's slightly larger that might be a little less expensive is probably not that big of a difference. So I think if you're looking to maybe spend money, I would prefer you spend it on a rest, a release, and then maybe if you got to save some money, I think saving some change in the stabilizer department's a decent idea. So I would say think about that. And then ultimately, you know, set yourself a budget. Unfortunately, almost all of us right now are on a budget, so we really have to kind of set a total amount of what we can spend and then make the parts and pieces and the bow all fit within that. So hopefully that helps you understand where I think you ought to spend your money and where you ought to save some money. Another thing, arrows. So once again, you get what you pay for in arrows. And usually when you're buying arrows, the more expensive they are, the higher the tolerances are going to be in terms of straightness and in terms of how close each individual arrow weighs to the rest of the dozen. So those are important. Don't get me wrong. Straightness of an arrow is definitely important. But I think above and beyond that, the most critical thing is spine and the way that the arrow comes out of the bow. So in my opinion, I think you can save some money in the purchase of your arrows, especially if you have a shorter draw length and you have the ability to cut those arrows down to be shorter. Maybe you can cut them from both ends. You're going to get the straightest portion of the shaft. And most arrows now, you can, well, not most, I said that off the top of my head, but I think pretty much all the arrows you can tune at home. So you can knock tune and you can tune that arrow to the bow. So spine is important, finding the spine on the individual arrow and then tuning that to your bow so that each individual arrow in your dozen is coming out of your bow in the exact same way, I think is more critical than the straightness of the arrow. And I've talked to a number of top-level pros that shoot for a living, and I can't think of any that haven't agreed with me or, you know, stated the same thing, that really, you know, spine is the most critical thing to the accuracy of the arrow and the way that it comes out of the bow. So I think you can save a little bit of money on arrows. Obviously, buy the best that you can afford, but if you're looking to save a little bit of money, I think that's one area that you could do it. You could think about it, especially if you're just getting into a bow. Another question I get, why a used bow might be a smart move. A lot of people buy a new bow every single year. You know, I see it all the time. You've got some big classified ads pages on the internet, including Archery Talk. They have a big classifieds page. Facebook marketplaces, there's a bunch of different groups, target archery groups, bow hunting groups that are on Facebook. There's a lot of people that buy and sell bows every single year just because they want the latest and greatest. Personally, over the years, I've bought used bows and I've had really good luck with them. And what that's allowed me to do is it's allowed me to buy a bow that is, you know, potentially last year's model or a couple years older models. And excuse me, at that point, I'm getting a, you know, a bow with a lot of technology built into it, but I'm getting it for a whole lot cheaper than I would if I bought a brand new bow out of the shop. And the reason I'm saying this, we have a pro shop. I think you should go to a pro shop and shoot bows. I think you should buy a new bow. I think it's great. But if you're really on a budget and it's tight and you just can't afford a brand new bow, I would say take a look at a used bow. There are some questions that I think you ought to ask if you're considering a used bow. You know, look at the limbs, look at the cams. I would want close-up pictures and photos, maybe video of those. I'd want to know that that thing's never been dry fired. Obviously, you're going to want to know the draw length, just the general condition of it. I would want to know how much it's been shot. But those are all the types of questions I would be asking when I've bought a used bow. I wouldn't say, you know, don't check it off. Don't say, you know what, no used bow for me. I think it's worth considering if you're, you know, trying to pinch your pennies and you're just getting into archery and you're kind of wanting to tinker with it. Maybe it's going to allow you to shoot for a while and then decide, hey, this is something I really love and I want to get into a new bow. So I would say consider a new bow or a used bow, in my opinion, especially if you're under a budget. So let me run into specs that matter. So what I say is the specifications of the bow. So what are the specs of the bow that actually matter? And I think there's probably some that maybe don't matter as much. I mean, they all matter, but I definitely think some matter more than others. So first and foremost, what matters? Your draw length and your accuracy of your draw length. When you go to a pro shop, probably what they're going to do, if you don't know your draw length, you don't really have any idea, what they're going to do is they're probably going to measure your wingspan. So you're going to put your hands flat against a wall, maybe your fingertip in a corner, and they're going to measure to the tip of your opposite finger. They're going to measure that wingspan. They're going to divide it by 2.5, I believe. And then what they're also going to do is they're going to set up a bow if you want to shoot it and the draw length that they've determined from that. And the bow technician that sets you up, he's going to look at your draw length to see how it looks. He's going to kind of observe it and see if it matches. So draw length accuracy is definitely first and foremost, in my opinion. If you go into a bow shop and you're like kind of, you know, browsing, you're looking around and you've got a couple bows that you think you might be interested in shooting, you know, if they don't set that bow to your draw length, you're not getting a picture of what that bow is going to feel like and shoot like. I would not shoot a bow that's not in your draw length and then make a decision on buying. So get your draw length figured out. And then also when you're testing out bows at a pro shop, make sure that you shoot them in your draw length. The second thing would be draw weight comfort. You know, I was in Vegas in our pro shop maybe a couple weeks ago, and there was a couple individuals in there that were testing bows, shooting bows. I remember as I walked by, there was an individual, he was just getting to, you know, full draw. He was trying to get to full draw. He was really working at it, straining at it. And then he got to full draw. And I remember walking by another time and kind of watching him, you know, flinch into that back wall, kind of wanted to jump on him a little bit. Draw weight is definitely worth considering when you're buying a new bow. If you've never shot a bow, you're probably not going to be able to handle 70 pounds. It's kind of a weird motion, especially if you're not used to it. I've seen some really big muscular guys, you know, try to pick up a bow and think that they're going to just draw it right back and shoot it. And I've seen them struggle at it just because it's a strange motion. It's something they're not necessarily used to. So you kind of have to work into that. And I would say, you know, don't be afraid of shooting lesser poundage. You know, most people shoot 70 pounds, and you hear other guys talking about shooting 80 and 90 pounds to go hunting with. That's awesome, but those guys have been doing that for years and years. I would say for most new bow hunters with not a lot of experience, I would go into it thinking about a much lower poundage, so even 50, 60 pounds, and get used to it before you really dive into the deep end and get a higher draw weight. And I would work with your bow technician when you're testing bows in the shop. I would tell them outright, be honest with them. Say, hey, I don't know that I can shoot 70 pounds. Can we lower this thing to, you know, 55 or 60 pounds and get a feel for it so that I'm not struggling to draw the bow? It's not going to be a good experience. And again, it's not going to tell you a lot about how that bow feels if you're absolutely just struggling to even get to full draw. The next thing I would suggest to you is grip feel. So how does it feel in your hand? And then even more so, do I have the ability to manipulate the grip? You know, can I put an aftermarket grip on it? Can I take the grip off and shoot directly off the riser? But I do think it's worth paying attention to how the grip feels in your hand. You want it to be comfortable. And then I like the ability to change out my grips for something that I prefer. So that's a question that I would be asking if I was looking to buy a new bow. And then tunability. So tunability and forgiveness, I would put those both in the same kind of category. How tunable is this bow? Does it hold a tune? And I would be asking my technician these questions. You know, how do I tune my draw length? Do I need draw mods? Do I have a rotating mod? You know, what's the let off like? Can I adjust the let off? Do I have the ability to maybe shift cams or, you know, put pressure on a limb? What are the tuning features of this bow? How easy is it to tune? And, you know, how well does it hold a tune? I think those are all questions that are worth asking and exploring with your bow technician when you're looking at buying a new bow. There are some things I think that don't matter as much for most hunters. One of them, this obsession with speed. Speed's great. I totally get it. It's awesome. I think a fast arrow is an accurate arrow in a hunting situation, especially if you're trying to estimate the range of the animal. But don't get infatuated. I've made this mistake. Don't get infatuated with foot per second in this speed obsession. The other thing about speed is you see all these advertised speeds with new bows. You know, it's going to be an IBO foot per second rating, like the Matthews Monster that I talked about at 353. We all have to understand that that's like maximum foot per second in a really controlled situation with a 350 grain arrow at a 70 pound draw and a 30 inch draw length. So the way that you're going to have your bow set up is not going to be the same. You might walk into the shop and find out that you're kind of in the middle of the draw length range. Maybe you're a 29 inch draw length. A hunting arrow, you're going to find out, is probably going to be closer to 450 grains than it is to 350 grains. So you're going to lose some foot per second there. You're going to be adding a D loop and soft knots for a knocking point. You're going to have a peep in your string. Those are going to decrease some feet per second. So you're not looking at an apples to apples comparison when you see those IBO ratings. They're a bit of a benchmark or recommendation per se, but give you an idea of, what bows are faster than others. But the reality is, those aren't the speeds that you're going to be hitting. And I would suggest that you don't get hung up on chasing speed. It's like I said earlier in the podcast, the best bow for you is the one that you want to shoot and the one that's the most accurate. And most people are going to shoot a speed bow less accurately than they would a bow that's a little bit more forgiving. It's got some features built into the bow that offer a little bit more forgiveness and accuracy. So don't chase that speed obsession. That's my opinion. Another little thing that I hear all the time is, this one might be a bit of a hot take, but feedback. So how does the bow feel in your hand when it goes off? A lot of people talk about that dead in the hand feel. It's one of the most common phrases I hear mentioned when somebody buys a new bow. They'll shoot a bow and they'll say, man, that thing is just absolutely dead in the hand. It's absolutely dead in the hand. And I get it. I love that. I love the feeling of a dead in the hand bow that's super quiet. But personally, I wouldn't put all your apples in that cart. I think the way that the bow holds, how steady it feels in your hand, the features of the grip, does it feel comfortable? I think the ability to find your right draw length, and I think all those things are a little bit more important than a dead in the hand feel. I've shot some bows over the years. In fact, some of the bows that I've shot the best had a little bit of feedback in it. I love a quiet bow. The brand new bows, luckily I think you get kind of the best of both worlds. You get the shootability as well as a bow that's dead in the hand. And I'm not saying it's not important. I'm just saying I wouldn't put all my apples in that cart. It's just food for thought. The next one, I think what doesn't or should not matter is, I would put both of these. So these internet bow wars, essentially, like you've got different people that are marketing different bows and you have brand loyalty kind of built up in that. I've had this experience in buying binoculars. I remember a number of years ago, I went in and I wanted to buy a pair of Swarovski EL binos. And I had it in my mind that that's all I wanted to buy. And I remember the guy behind the counter said, hey, you might want to look into these Leica Ultravids and see what you think. And I went back and forth between the Swaro and the Leica. And for my eyes, I had to admit that the Leica looked better. I just liked the field of view, the way that everything popped, the clarity. For me, it was a better fit, personally. And so I ended up buying the Leica. But I had to talk myself into it because I had my heart set on Swarovski because it's the best. And I think we get pigeonholed into that. We walk into a shop and we want to say, I am buying a Matthews. I am buying a Hoyt. I am buying a PSE. And you go into it with that preconception. When the reality is, maybe one of those bows is going to speak to you more than another. So don't go into a bow shop with a preconceived idea of, brand loyalty or, these internet influence bow wars that are going on. I would say try to keep an open mind and go in and shoot each individual bow that you're interested in and be objective in how it feels and the things that really matter. Moving into kind of another section of this is the pro shop experience and how to do it right. Your pro shop isn't a retail store. It's more of a service relationship. They want to help you get into the best bow for you. They also want to help you tune it. They want to help give you some lessons if you're new to bow hunting or new to shooting a bow. And they want to help guide you along this process. It's like a, it's a better relationships. But if you, you know, if you treat the experience like you're going into a Cabela's, you're going to get Cabela's style results. I wouldn't, you know, look at your pro shop like, you know, more of a, and a better, you know, more intimate relationship, if you will. When you show up, I think you should show up with a realistic budget, and that's total budget on what you're going to spend on the bow and all the parts and pieces that go with it. I think that's really important. And if you lay that out right to your pro shop saying, this is what I've got to spend, they're going to help guide you. They'll probably ask you some leading questions and you should be able to answer those. And that's going to help them know what bows and accessories are going to make the most sense for you. So go into it with a budget. I think you should go into it with an honest idea of, you know, what you plan to hunt. I think you should be willing to shoot multiple bows. Those should be set up in the specs for you. So your draw length and then a draw weight that you can comfortably draw. I already mentioned it, but I wouldn't go into the process with brand loyalty. I would go into it with an open, objective mind. If you've got a release, if you've got arrows, because you're looking to upgrade your bow, make sure that you bring those because you're going to want to shoot those with the new bow. And, if you're going to shoot those arrows in with that new bow, you want to be able to tune those two together and make sure that they're talking one to the other. You know, when they start setting you up at a pro shop, you know, they're going to set you up for your draw length and your draw weight. I already mentioned, but draw length is important. I would be asking your bow technician, you know, let's measure my draw length, right? We get it measured. They set the bows up that you want to shoot in that draw length. As you're drawing the bow, those bows, and you're coming to full draw, I would be talking to your bow tech there that's with you, and I would be asking them, you know, what does this look like to you? You know, how does my form look? Does it look like I'm compact? Does it look like I'm, you know, too long in my draw? I would be asking them some questions and trying to get an understand of what your, you know, your draw length should look like from them, because they should have some experience in shooting a bow. And, you know, be asking those questions. Bowtech's, a good Bowtech is going to allow you to just, you know, pepper them with questions. You know, they're there to help you. I know that Cody Frick in our office and in the Vegas office, that guy's awesome. He's more than happy to help. He's got a ton of experience and, you know, he's definitely wants the best experience for customers that come into the shop. I already mentioned, but I think you ought to set that draw weight on the lighter side. And I would ask your bow tech to do that out the gate. I would say, hey, can we set this thing, you know, than a lower draw weight than, you know, max weight for that weapon, especially if you're new to archery. So adjust the bow to you, not the other way around. Don't you adjust to the bow. So don't manipulate your draw length, your draw weight to try to fit into a bow. It should be the other way around. Make sure that you adjust the bow to you. When you're shooting bows, there's some things that I think you ought to focus on or do that's going to help you make the best decision in buying the bow. One is focusing on repeatability and comfort. Is it comfortable to draw? Does it aim comfortably? Is it steady in the hand? I think those are first and foremost very important. I would suggest that you shoot 3 to 5 arrows per bow, and I would reset between bows. So I would shoot different bows, take a break if you have to, reset and reset your mind frame, and then shoot the next bow. And again, I would shoot 3 to 5 arrows per session and really be focusing on repeatability and comfort. I would suggest that you don't chase bullseyes when you're testing bows for purchase. So if you're up there and you're trying to hit the center of a Vegas face at 20 yards and that's what you're focused on, you're not really focused on the feel and the comfort and how well the bow holds, in my opinion. So I would focus on feel, comfort, how well does it hold. I wouldn't chase bullseyes. I would think about the draw cycle. What does it feel like? I would think about how it relates to my style of hunting. If I'm at a tree stand in November in Wisconsin and it's 10 degrees, am I going to be able to draw this bow in that situation? How comfortable is the draw? So I would be thinking about that. I'd be thinking about the valley. You know, is there a big hump at the end? If there is, does it bother me? Does it feel like it dips in and it's just uncomfortable and feels strange? I would be thinking about the back wall. In particular, is it got some sponge to it? And do I find that annoying or do I like a hard back wall? So, you know, be thinking about that. I would be considering vibration. I've already said, I don't think that feedback and vibration is maybe as key and critical, but it's definitely worth considering. So be thinking about it. Think about the grip, how comfortable it is. And, I would really suggest you just think about how well does this bow hold? How well does it aim? When I'm in that bow, does it feel like it just is a part of me and it's an extension of me, that it works with me? That's really what I'm looking for in a bow. Just some other general considerations. So shorter guys or gals that have shorter draw lengths, you know, if you're 29 inches and under, you know, you can probably get away with shooting a shorter axle to axle bow easier. Because the string angle is going to be a little bit better for you with that short axle to axle. You know, if you're a guy that's got a longer draw length, 29, 30, you know, 30 and a half, 31, 32, you're probably going to appreciate a longer axle to axle bow because it's going to give you a better string angle as you're looking into your peep. You're not going to have to duck and get into your peep like you might with a short axle to axle bow. That's just like a general consideration. I like longer axle-to-axle bows. Again, I've already talked about it, but you know, everybody's a little bit different. Everybody's hunting style is a little bit different, and those are all considerations I think you ought to go into the process with in mind before you even get there. So that's it. It's kind of closing. The last thing I wanted to touch on maybe is, this is a funny one I get all the time. I've had people ask me, does a camouflage bow matter? Should I have a camouflage bow? Is the animal going to see it? I've shot solid colored bows for a lot of years, and I can't say that I've had any, you know, animals that spooked due to the color of the solid bow. But again, a camouflage bow might give you the micro or millisecond that you need to release an arrow. So I would say if it's in the back of your head and you're wondering about it, go with a camouflage bow. Personally, I don't think there's any issue with solid bows for hunting. I feel like I'm missing some stuff, but that's kind of what I had in my notes. I felt like I was a little bit manic in this podcast and talking from the hip for a lot of it, and I apologize for that. I guess if you have specific questions that I didn't answer that you think I can help you out with, you know, drop me a DM. I'd be happy to answer those, or you can drop them in the comments on the YouTube page on this podcast. But appreciate you listening. I want to see more people get involved in archery and bow hunting in general. I really do think it's so good for you. I don't know if that's in our DNA just from our past or what it is exactly, but I really do think that archery is a fantastic sport. It's good for your head. It's good for, you know, physically just to get out and shoot some arrows. I just think it's so good for you. So I would encourage you, if you've been on the fence about it, I would dive in, do the research, go to your local pro shop and shoot some bows and get into a bow. I think you guys would really enjoy it. So I'm going to leave you with that. I hope you all have a good weekend. I'm recording this on a Friday, but I hope you have a good week or weekend, and we'll do it again next week. And that's it.